your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Kia ora, Josh.
Kia ora, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, very good.
And super, hey, can I ask you one quick question before we jump into the space news?
Yes, I'm here for the questions.
I heard that yesterday, last night, there was the potential for an aurora sighting here in New Zealand due to, you know, some space energy. And I unfortunately was inside trying to pack up my room, so I'm not really sure what happened with that. But as far as I'm aware, there was no actual sighting.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a fizzle. I was reading it this morning. There's been a lot of solar activity, which is what causes the aurora. But that, yeah, if there was going to be an aurora, you know, it would probably be visible down south. So, you know, you're looking at Stewart Islands, Invercargill, pretty far south. And even then, we also had a pretty bright moon last night, so that would probably wash out a lot of the aurora. So, yeah, I think it was a bit of a dud this time.
Oh, no. Ah, well.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to go venture further down. Auckland does seem awfully high up to be able to see something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And now jumping into the new space news, we have some very exciting space news today.
Yeah, we our first story, we had the new big giant Starship rocket, which is being developed by SpaceX, that launched just over 2 weeks ago. And they've made it to space. They've actually lifted this massive, massive rocket into space. They got it into orbit, and they had a lot of their goals that they were wanting to achieve, which is a really big, you know, it's not just a big milestone for SpaceX. It's a really big thing for NASA. And I think it's a really, you know, it's an exciting rocket to see fly, too. It's quite unreal.
That is super exciting. And what is the objective of the Starship?
Yeah, so the rocket itself, I mean, it's the largest rocket ever built. It's now the largest to have flown into space. So this is, you know, bigger and more powerful than, you know, the famous Saturn V rocket used during the Apollo missions. But this rocket, it's basically designed to lift huge payloads off into space, but not just to get things into space. It's designed to be fully reusable. And that's kind of really the biggest expense in space exploration and sending things to space is the cost, because rockets, they typically fly once and then they're used. But this rocket is designed to be fully reusable, and they're testing us to, you know, make these systems work eventually. But the big goal for this at the moment is NASA's contracted a version of this rocket to actually land astronauts on the moon in about 2 years. They're kind of keenly watching the progress of this rocket, because its development is kind of vital for NASA's plans to land on the moon. So it's a pretty big deal that they've got it into space so quickly.
Wow, that's super exciting. And do we have any idea of what their plans are once they do get moonborn?
Yeah, well, it really depends kind of on the development of the rockets, because, you know, NASA's given a contract and said that, you know, we want to get people on the moon by this time.
Yeah.
This is the science that we want to do, and they'll have a set of their own goals, but I think they'll probably have to meet in the middle with, you know, the company that's building it, which is SpaceX, because it's a pretty risky business.
Yeah.
And it's just a mammoth rocket. You know, you see the videos of it, and it's bloody huge. It's quite unreal to see something so big fly. It's like 110 meters tall. Yeah, but the biggest goal is essentially going to be safety, because, you know, NASA will not be putting their astronauts on this rocket, you know, if it's going to explode, obviously. So, there's a lot of things that go into it, and I definitely think it's probably not going to be 2 years, probably more likely 4 or 5 years, but, yeah, I think it's going to be quite exciting to see either way.
Because would you say that there's an increased safety concern when the rocket is larger?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, bigger rockets, more rocket fuel, essentially, it's more explosions.
Right.
And, you know, NASA, of course, they've been through tragedies with their own rocket losses with their space shuttle program. So they're very aware of, you know, not just the loss of human life, but I think the kind of political and cultural ramifications of, you know, losing people in space. It's quite a scary thing. And, you know, the disaster they had with the space shuttle were profoundly changing in the culture of NASA and I think American culture and, you know, space exploration in general. So there's huge regulations into these things. And, yeah, SpaceX is just going to have to prove that they can actually make this rocket as safe as they want it to be.
Wow. And our second bit of space news is a local space story.
Yeah, this was really cool. So, yeah, we've basically the 10th ever meteorite in New Zealand has been found, which is amazing. It was basically, a few weeks ago, there was a really large fireball that was spotted flying over the skies over South Island, basically, over kind of Otago region. And there's an organization here in New Zealand called Fireballs New Zealand, where they basically watch large meteors. They've got cameras that track the sky night after night. And they use these cameras, and they basically triangulated the kind of positions of where they think this meteorite fell. And they traced it to Lake Takapo, which is kind of in central Otago. And so they got a team together. They sent out a bunch of people kind of literally just searching fields.
Yeah.
And they searched a few hundred hectares, and they found the meteorite, which is just incredible. So we've now had our 10th ever meteorite found in New Zealand, which is amazing. Goodness.
And just speaking of, because I'm like looking at the article and looking at the meteorite itself, and this might be a silly question for someone like you, but speaking of sending a group out in what is fairly rocky terrain anyway, how are they to ascertain that something's a meteorite with the naked eye?
Yeah, no, that's honestly a really good question, because I genuinely get this a lot at work at the start. I'm like, we get people bringing in rocks from their garden and they think it looks like a meteorite, and it's like, wow, I found this meteorite in my garden. It's not a meteorite.
And they're like, no, that's just a rock.
Yeah, I'm like, no, that's a piece of scoria. But no, it's kind of as simple as it seems. But they basically get lines of people to kind of sweep an entire field. And, you know, a meteorite is a rock, of course. But what you are looking for is it's a very distinctive looking rock. You often notice it's got like a very smooth surface, and that's because it's basically melted through the atmosphere. So it's kind of smoothed off. And you'll also notice like a crater, essentially. It would have hit the ground with a bit of force. You're going to see the dust kind of, you know, the dirt around it. It's going to be a little bit dug into the ground, and it's going to look very unusual. And in some cases, you might even see, like, burn marks around the ground. But it's as simple as that, you know. It's a visual confirmation, and then once they've got the rock, and they now do, they basically send it off to laboratories, and from there they will confirm, you know, with 100% certainty that it is an asteroid. And it'll, confirm our 10th ever meteorite, which is just so cool.
Yeah, which is super exciting, because when was the last meteorite we found? How long ago was that?
Yeah, and don't quote me on this, but I think the last one was it's called the Ellerslie meteorite, and that's because it literally crashed through someone's roof here in Auckland in Ellerslie and landed in their house. And that's on display here at Auckland. I think it's at the Auckland Museum.
Yeah.
But I think that was in 2011. I might be wrong with the date. But
it's been about a
decade ago. Yeah, so it's been, you know, 10, 15 years since that. And that's kind of the thing about meteorites, you know, is there actually are a lot of them. They're constantly falling to the earth. And there's probably lots of them out there in New Zealand. But for us to, you know, see them on camera, to then figure out where they landed, and then to actually physically find them, it's just really rare. You don't have that often. So it's pretty cool that we've actually found this one.
Which is super, super exciting. And, I mean, just speaking of the one that fell through someone's roof, which was quite a while ago. So would you say that between then and now we are maybe a bit more apt at tracking them and being able to tell where they might fall?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and like these organizations like Fireballs NZ, you know, they do a lot of amazing work about actually tracking these things. And it's not necessarily always about finding them. It's actually just about getting a bit of data and the numbers of how many of these things are actually occurring. You know, where are we seeing them? How many things potentially are falling to Earth? Because a lot of these things, you know, they don't just apply to New Zealand. We can use these kind of stats that we get to give us like global averages, because a lot of countries aren't monitoring these things. So, you know, it feeds into the larger picture of, you know, how much stuff in space is falling to the Earth in general, you know.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you know, adds a piece to that puzzle. So that, yeah, I think there's also just a lot of interest in space nowadays than there was, you know, 10, 15 years ago. So yeah, I think it's definitely something to watch. And, you know, meteors are just awesome to see in the sky either way.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Josh. I think those are all the questions I had.
No problem.
Thank you. It was lovely to chat. And we'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
See you then. Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.